Thank you for downloading the Three Beards Soccer Podcast, a Baltimore-based soccer show focused on the English Premier League and the footballing world. Please follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, username at Three Beards Pod.
Hello and welcome to another EPL podcast, Three Beards Soccer. I'm here with your host, Ken Lee. How we doing, Ken?
Good.
And Tyler Offeld. Tyler is the only healthy one of the bunch, as both Ken and I are fighting germs that our kids gave us, most likely. Tyler, how we doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, I heard you just got a nap, buddy. I was impressed. Ken was very impressed that you were able to nap with two kids in the house. I am also impressed.
Hey, I felt like my performance last week was subpar when I did interject here and there, so I wanted to be fresh, I wanted to be focused, I got my chi centered,
okay,
ready to go.
Okay.
But you're going to need to be.
Yeah, we're going to need you to step up here because both of us are under the weather. I don't know about you guys, but did you guys do your Christmas trees? Did you get your Christmas trees yet, Ken?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Did you get a real one?
Oh, a real Christmas tree is the only way to go.
I know. Char, she insists on getting real Christmas trees. We always end up with one that takes up half of our living room. You know, like enormous fat trees that are like $100. But we got our tree.
Yeah, Christmas trees are expensive.
They are, man. We got our tree set up. Tyler, I can imagine you having like a advanced robot tree or something like that.
No, I went out, cut it down with bow saw.
I'll vouch. I've been with him before.
I cannot imagine him operating a bow saw.
Whatever that is. Got down on the ground, just did it.
Is this like...
He's very used to the back and forth motion. You think about that however you want to.
He said he napped. Oh, well.
We needed to from cutting down that tree.
Yeah, I believe it.
This was Thanksgiving weekend, by the way, that we did
I'm
this.
I'm looking at my Christmas tree right now, and I just realized that I put the star on sideways, but it's a star, so you can't tell.
Yeah, well...
But there's a stick that's protruding out of the right side.
Ours made it a week without even getting decorated, and then it got decorated in, like, an hour, and the entire house is destroyed during this time. That's for the kids, like... launched all their toys and all this other stuff everywhere. But anyway, on to the how about we call this the Premier League losing podcast, Ken? Because the title was lost this weekend for everybody involved. Every single manager to a T has checked their team out except for one, and we will go straight to that game, Ken. We're not going to put it off. Manchester United versus Manchester City. For the title, well, at least a title race, as Manchester City came into this game 8 points up. United, 40 games unbeaten at home in a row. Jose Mourinho has lost 9 times in his career. In his career, Ken, since 2002. 9 times he's lost at home. And City, on the other hand, 13 Premier League wins in a row. Did lose in the midweek to drop there. I think it was 20 game in all comps. Winning streak, but we're a lot of records on the line here, Ken. And I thought the game was a little nervy in the beginning. I don't know about you. You think it was a little nervy? Both teams were a little bit anxious. You could tell there was a lot on the line, and it was whether or not City's going to run away with this league or not.
Yeah, they answered the question, but I mean, luckily for them, they had to play a thoughtless, creativeless Manchester United.
Yeah, so Manchester United, I thought they would line up to get the draw, and I didn't like that. But what they did, Ken, is they lined up with the same strategy they had against Arsenal when that was Arsenal away, which is to sit back with all their players except for they moved Martial and Rashford forward sometimes to put pressure on the back line, and Lukaku was on his own up top, and... That kind of setup let City do what they wanted, but City was actually a little off in this game. Like
the passing was bad.
Their passing was bad. They didn't have any real nice clear-cut chances. They were they didn't play their normal game. You could see that they were feeling the pressure a little bit, but it was really disappointing for me. That's how I left this game, just disappointed in the way that United approached it, and by United I mean Mourinho. approached it, and then the execution, obviously. I mean, you can say what you want. City scores, I guess, a scrappy goal, but at the same time, it's not like United deserved any more after the first goal. City deserved to have a goal at that point.
No, it was sloppy defense.
Yeah, it was.
You're going to get scored on every single time against Manchester City if you're not going to play tight defensively. And they were loose both times. And Mourinho can say whatever he wants, that they were disgusting goals or whatever the word he used to say that they were basically undeserved goals. But if you get punished for making mistakes in this league, especially punished against the Manchester City, who was relentless in front of goal. So,
yeah,
Mourinho can say what he wants, but United, they didn't have enough. And the biggest problem is City goes into United. United away, like, is at home, so City's away, obviously.
Yeah.
And they go in, like, they don't care where they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
The end result is to win, and they're the only team in the league that's doing that right now. So, when you're not afraid to play United at home, you might beat them every time, and especially because they're top four. And Mourinho didn't really help the league out by, you know, not setting his team up properly to win that game.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And in regards to the goals, so the first goal was on a corner kick. Like, Lingard kind of lost his man. The ball, he jumped up and missed it. The ball hit somebody and bounced down. But it's a scrappy goal.
Yeah,
but
why does he have that much space, though, on the 6-yard line? De Gea is a good goalie, maybe the best in the world, but he's not going to block those.
Yeah, I mean, point blank, inside the six, the ball drops to Silva, who finishes the ball as he should. He's a superb player, so he deserved his goal. And City had the ball in United's half for most of the time. So, I mean, even though they weren't being,
but that was always going to happen that way.
Yeah,
I feel like no matter who's playing City right now, City's always going to have the whole of the ball, like the lion's share of possession for sure.
Yeah, but
because they're playing a waiting game, waiting for City to make a mistake, and they did.
City seems to make the mistakes, though, Ken. They make a mistake about once a game. They don't hold a ton of clean sheets. They do have a pretty good defensive record overall because they only allow, like, one goal. But they do let up goals to bad teams. They let up bad goals. And sure enough, United, who had no business probably being in a draw at halftime with the way they had set up and the way their offensive players performed, get a break. City's back line misses it. And by the way, Ken, did you notice that Kompany's playing in this one? He's hurt. Otamendi is not a sound defensive center back right now. And Fabian Delph is playing left back. Like, they didn't even have any of their starting lineup, and United put no pressure on them.
Once we get done wrapping up the scoring of this game, there were very good points that were taken from this game, if you were paying attention. We'll get into them in a second.
Sure. Sure, but Rashford gets the break and finishes like a grown-up. I mean, it was a complete defensive error that allowed the ball to get through.
Good.
Nice finish by him. United go into the break 1-1. At that point, if you're a United fan like I am, I was very pleased because it didn't deserve to be 1-1. Lukaku was alone up top, but did almost nothing in possession. Martial on the left did not ever get the ball. He's been good too, he's been good, and Rashford's been pretty good too. They've been electric, but it's not like they ever got the ball. City just kept it. The thing that saved United from being blown out in the first half is that City couldn't find that final ball, couldn't get down to the end line like they like to, which I give some credit to United for good organization on the actual ball.
Right. They were organized, which made the passing of City off, which is a pretty rare sight to see.
They picked off a lot of balls.
They were passing the ball out of bounds.
Yeah, they picked off a lot of balls, too. I mean, you had mostly defensive midfielders on for United, so it's not like they had any other choice. But the defensive game plan, I think, was pretty good. You don't expect to allow two free kick goals or set-piece goals to City with City's height, but United not having any kind of...
Well, they weren't headed balls. They were just missed balls. They were balls that bounced right into the feet of an attack-minded player on the 6-yard line.
Yeah, United's really missing...
It's unacceptable.
Well, they're missing that center back who comes in and clears every single ball out. I mean, it's easy to go back and talk about great center backs who've done it before, but I mean, even a guy in the mold of like a Company or even Bailly, although he's not good that great in the air, he's a guy that attacks the ball no matter where it is, and United was missing that in the box, and
just
they paid for it.
Clear it away. They couldn't do it, and it cost them.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. Get it. It's like my mom said when I was playing soccer growing up, get it out red. It's really simple. Get it out red. You know, like,
there's always that one guy screaming on the sideline, get it out, honey.
Yeah,
my grandfather used to scream.
That's as detailed as she got, but we understood what she's trying to say. She's trying to say kick the ball out. And sure enough, after halftime, some changes are made here, Ken, as Company leaves the game. Like, he couldn't even finish.
Well, he had to.
Yeah.
He shouldn't even have played.
Yeah, he was hurt, and they still put no pressure on him, even though he was hurt. You know, you expect Company at some point to get have a red card tackle in this one. He never really did, especially when he's down a wing. You know what I mean?
I don't think he had the he didn't have the energy.
Well, he didn't need the energy, Ken, because United didn't have the ball.
That's right.
United played a little bit better after the half, but, I mean, overall, you have to say that City's second goal, I mean, the way they're playing right now, I don't really like to call them breaks, and I don't really like to talk about luck, Ken, because I believe with the way City plays, they make their own luck. There's the games they've been winning in the 85th minute, 87th minute, 95th minute, they are putting the other team under siege for the last, like, half an hour. So they deserve it when they score those goals. And to have
teams that continue to press will eventually score a goal. Teams that sit back will eventually get scored on. And that's what's happening. And that's what happened at the weekend.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
you could say whatever you want, but United didn't want to win the game, no matter how you put it.
Yeah, the second goal is especially bad as the ball hits the ground right around the six, hits the ground on a free kick coming in from the left wing position about 25 yards away, but way on over near the sideline. And the ball hits the ground, and then Romelu Lukaku, with his right foot, he's a left-footed player, tries to clear the ball out. And Ken, I can tell you as a player who only has one foot, that even my left foot, which is extremely weak, I can clear a ball out when it bounces, and no one's paying me £200,000 a week to do it. That was pathetic. And it came back again.
Look, he's just in a bad run of form. He's miserable right now.
Honestly, Ken, after that, there was a ball that was put through by maybe Herrera. Lukaku had the break on the ball and got two big touches in, and then essentially dribbles the ball out of bounds inside the box. A little later, around the 83rd minute, United actually put some pressure on late before City started playing around in the corner with it. But a ball comes across to Lukaku, who hits the only target that he could have hit and not scored, as he hits the goalie in the face.
Ederson in the neck.
In the neck, in the face, with the ball from about 6 yards out.
Not even 6 yards, Thomas. It was like from the two yards out, he hits the neck of Ederson, and then someone had to come clear it off the line because Mata misses the putback.
Yeah, Mata was, it was more congested at that point, but Lukaku had the break on the ball and just smashed the ball into the neck of the goalkeeper. Clearly a player in this game, Ken. Honestly, I can't remember a big player, I guess, having such a poor game in a big match. I'm trying to think, man. A player just, like, ball hits off him and rolls out of play and, like, that kind of stuff. Like, I don't know, Ken. I can't imagine a player
I'm
having
sure
this
it's happened,
I know, but I can't think of one offhand.
This is just the most recent one, and it's just terrible. I mean, he looks so bad right now. There are a couple things to take away from City United at United. Fabian Delph, most likely, he might get slapped around by Pep. He might not play the next game because he played terribly. He was out of position, but still. I mean, he missed balls. Like, the reason that Rashford scored is because he put his thigh in the wrong place and missed the ball.
Yeah.
He turned to the side. He did it again a little bit later in the game, and almost cost him another goal. Couple, like, ill-placed passes. I wouldn't be surprised to see Pep say, hey, you're going to take a break for a second. I can't believe that, one, he's starting for a City anyway.
He's
much less starting out of position.
Much less starting against United at Old Trafford.
There
goes both of us.
Lukaku needs a break.
Yeah.
This was the worst he's looked in a long time. And I'm not saying it's time to start losing faith on him. Paid too much money to do that. It's not even Christmas time yet. Yeah. But he needs a break. Just put in Ibra. It's not going to get worse. Ibra doesn't have the speed. He doesn't have the pace to keep up with the league. But you never know. I mean, at least Ibra knows his boundaries. And he's going to do, you know, whatever it takes to get the ball back when he loses it. Lukaku looks like a teddy bear now. He used to be threatening.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, Lukaku's playing? Yeah, we got a chance.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. I'd also say that Ibrahimovic isn't ready yet for 90 minutes. That being said, you could have played him for 60
minutes. Bring him in for 60, 65, and then maybe let Lukaku come in or do whatever. But Lukaku can't start a game anymore. He can't do it. He shouldn't be doing it. The third point is that City, now for all intents and purposes, is going to run away with the league. I know it's not Christmas time yet, so it's a little early to say that. But when any time you have a team that rolls into a derby match away and plays the way that they played with no fear and just a pure grit and determination to win,
yep.
They're going to win the league, especially when they're in a position like City's in. Minus that little setback. Yeah, and I know you're not going to like to hear this, Tommy, but we're going to have to wait till the end of the season. But if they make it a meaningful way into the Champions League, they got a very, very good draw group stage. But again, to your point, when you've got the luck, the chips are always going to fall your way. And right now, everything's falling their way. There were a couple big games drawn in Champions League. But if they win the league and they make it a meaningful distance in the Champions mm-hmm. League, we might need to start having a conversation that Pep has amassed maybe the best team ever.
Yeah, I usually, when it comes to conversations like that, I like to see those teams over like maybe a two-year stretch, because in 1 year you can be one thing, and the next year you can be completely different. I mean, Real Madrid...
The way that they're doing it, though.
Well, Real Madrid had 2 years like that. They won the Champions League twice, and Real Madrid is in fourth place right now with the exact same squad, almost, missing a little bit of depth. But with the exact same squad, and you know, last year around this time we'd be talking about Real Madrid as one of the best teams ever. So, but I understand.
The Spanish league, it allows for more time for you to kind of put your foot off the gas, which that's why those teams like Barca and Real Madrid, Juventus, and you know, whichever Milan team is showing up that season in Italy.
Yeah,
that's why they slip up.
Yeah, and you know, you can take into account the winter break as well that. The English teams do the exact opposite, and Ken, you know, every single manager, except actually for Jose this year, so far, I mean, he's going to complain about it, but all the other managers, Ken, have complained about the congestion, and, you know, we'll get into the next game, which is a lot to
do
with that.
Oh, he will now.
He will. Oh, yeah.
You can't skip that yet, because Jose Mourinho is a disrespectful person, and he's terrible. He's actually, I think he has very loser-like mentality. The only thing he says after this game is he feels sorry for the referee for not calling a penalty for United with Ander Herrera,
nope.
Who 100% dove.
It's not a penalty. It's pretty simple. That wasn't a penalty.
Oh, listen to
Jose. I wish
it
was.
The only thing he took from the whole game, not the fact that they lacked creativity, not the fact that they lacked a goal-scoring mentality, not the fact that they didn't line up to win, was that Ander Herrera steps on a defender's foot, and that should have been called a penalty because Ander Herrera hit the ground. What a pathetic loser. Sometimes he just needs to keep his mouth quiet.
Well, he does it intentionally, Ken. I believe that he does that. And then I also believe, Ken, you're talking about having that mentality. He went into the City locker room after the game to tell them to keep their celebrations down. Then Ederson reportedly told him, Ederson, the City goalie, told him to get out and was disrespectful or something like that. As you know, I'm sure that anybody else would be. The opposing manager has no business in your locker room. And there's two things from this, Ken. I like the fact that that Jose went and created spice in this rivalry again. He's done this before with Real Madrid, where he picked a fight with Pep's Barca team that was unbelievable, and try to create something different out of the games. But it's kind of admitting that they're better than you, and you have to bring them down to a certain level. I like the fact that Jose keeps the spice going. Like, Ken, you remember when Arsenal and United used to have fist fights in the tunnel? Like, well, yeah, that was really some, fun.
Fabregas threw that pizza
at Ferguson. And Vieira and Roy Keane, those awesome classic battles where those games, Ken, were so chippy, and at the end of the game, there's always going to be incidents. We miss that stuff now.
Should happen behind the scenes, but when he's doing his media scrum afterward, have some accountability. Like, that's ridiculous.
Well, we can't all have the same accountability as Arsene Wenger, Ken. But at the
I'm not saying that he doesn't do the same thing, but he doesn't go like outside Jose, of this world.
Yeah, but he does it intentionally. He knows that he's way off base.
It's frustrating.
But anyway, so a nice big fight in the locker rooms breaks out. One of the city coaches, Mikhail, is that how you say it?
Yeah,
Arteta takes a bloody cut to the head. Jose gets more milk poured on him. And apparently Lukaku hit the target in the fight after the game, but not during the game, as he was apparently one of the people in the bus stop. And you know what, Ken? This might be his way of getting a break. Lukaku, that is.
Yeah, he needs one, whether it's forced or, you know, willingly. But something's got to go with him. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
We talked about it. But the United City fight after the match, a little bit of fun. I like to see, and I think it. You know what, Ken? The game in April between United and City, if they don't play in the Champions League or the FA Cup before then, it's going to have even more in it. And as at that point, Ken, City will be way ahead, so it'll just be for fighting.
Exactly. It will just depend. A rivalry is only as good as how close you are in the table. And by then, if City keep playing the way that they're playing, there'll be 15 or 20 points up.
Yeah, but that makes for an even better game, Ken, because they got nothing to lose. Both these teams are going to want to settle the score.
Nothing to gain either.
No, they just have to settle the score. But, you know, with the millionaires in all of sports now, a lot of these rivalries are really dampened. And, like Man United, Arsenal's like nothing anymore, Ken. Like, there's no big tackles anymore. Even Man United, Liverpool is pretty soft. Now, they don't. Neither team really has any enforcers in it anymore. And it's between the fans now. Like, the coaches are all from other countries and other places where they've coached a bunch of different teams, so they don't really have the same kind of commitment in the actual personal rivalries. So, you know, to see United City spark up like that, I think it's enjoyable, and I really hope that Pep and Jose are going at it for years to come, honestly, even though I don't think Jose would ever make it that long. He just doesn't.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. We've spent 20 minutes talking about it. It doesn't even matter.
Well, it was a big match.
And United's managed by a manager who shows no want or determination to win big games. It's terrible. You can have a rivalry all you want. But if you know that Jose's not coming in to win, who cares?
Yeah, last 2 points I want to make, Ken, real quick. You could argue, like, there are people that say, well, if Pogba had been in this game, then blah, blah, blah. Well, the bottom line is, when you play 38 games, you're going to be missing players via injury or suspension or all kinds of things. That's part of the game, and there's always players missing from big games, so that's not an excuse. That's my first thing. The second thing is that United will not lose the title because they lost to City at home. United will lose the title because City won 14, maybe more, matches in a row and deserved to win the title. And United did not win 14 matches in a row and does not deserve to win the title. That's why they're back by 11 points.
Why every year a team wins and 19 other teams lose? Because the team that won didn't drop silly points.
Yep, it's very similar to last year, though, Ken. If you'll remember, the Chelsea team with 13 wins in the trot, they won 13 in a row, just not quite as impressively as City, but a lot of scrappy wins, and there's just no way to really claw back from that, from a team winning that many, even with Chelsea losing form. What was it like, Ken? It was like March?
I mean, it got more entertaining, but
they still won by 10.
Yeah, exactly.
10 points, yeah. So, speaking of which, Ken, this is another one of those games, West Ham-Chelsea. It's a derby match in London. And it's another game where the manager has already checked out of the title and said so. Chelsea loses to David Moyes' 18th place West Ham team? 1-0 here, as Chelsea just looked impotent. They looked tired, because that's what their coach has been telling them.
And because Joe Hart is starting in his rightful position now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The X factor.
The bench.
The Hart factor. Arnautovic scores in the 6th minute, Ken. decent enough goal. Yeah, decent enough goal. 6 minute. This is actually another. The big thing in the weekend we were saying is the title losing of all these of teams in the top six. And West Ham scores in the 6th minute here. And Chelsea just doesn't really respond. And, you know, Conte said before the game, had ready-made excuses saying that his team was tired after the midweek where they failed to win the group. And, Ken, we'll talk about the Champions League draw a little later, but they paid for it as they finished the 2 seed. And West Ham United wins here 1-0. Chelsea just didn't really have any chance. And after the game, even Chelsea players were saying, oh, we're just tired. It's the very beginning of the December stretch, Ken.
Yeah, you still have to go this midweek, the weekend, into the winter, the Christmas fixture list. I mean, if you're tired already, forget it. To me, it's more loser mentality. It's just excuse mongering. You guys are professional athletes paid way too much money to do this. And when you guys come out and take a loss to the 18th place team who just came under new management, who hasn't
showed any pulse.
It took four tries for West Ham to win a game under Moyes, and they played way less talent than Chelsea, yeah. And they lost to all of them. And they go in and beat Chelsea 1-0 because Chelsea is just filled with a bunch of babies.
Yeah.
They can't hack it. And the managers told them that it pretty much doesn't matter anymore. Oh, and by the way, I'm most likely not going to be here anyway.
Yeah, seriously.
After the summer, so.
Well, I haven't heard any.
Before gets rid of me, I'm going to leave.
I haven't heard any responses from Conte on drawing on the Champions League draw. I haven't heard any responses yet, but I can imagine that if they lose to Barcelona, which, you know, they probably will, Conte might just dip. Can't win the title.
Oh, you think he'll quit?
Sure.
In the middle of the season? Oh,
he might.
Oh, that was a nice cough there. Nice cough there, Tom.
I thought I had muted that. Did I not? Did I not mute that?
No, it sounded beautiful.
Though. Okay.
Keep going.
We're a joke. Both of us are a joke right now. Yeah, but I honestly, Ken, I told you this before, I could see him quitting. Like in March or something.
I don't know if I see Conte quitting. I do see Conte not staying after the season's over if they don't win any silverware. I do see that because I've always envisioned him being that person.
Yeah, well, they drew Barcelona in the Champions League, which is not great. Manchester City, by the way, drew Basel, which is a good draw for them. United drew Sevilla, which is a average draw. Sevilla is a pretty decent team.
Well, I mean, when against who it could have been.
Exactly, exactly. I mean,
the Manchesters win, as most of the time they always do.
You know what?
When
they warm those up, Ken. When they're drawing, they warm up the Manchester United ping pong ball, so they know not to take it when there's a, you know, when there's a Juventus or something like that.
There is something to be said about Manchester draws, though. I mean, they get pretty lucky when it comes to the teams.
I think City's had some tough draws. I don't think United has.
Well, I think
City
they have
has.
Too, but that was when people were still kind of trying to discredit City.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we all know that Arsenal has the worst draws, and I'm not saying that facetiously. Arsenal genuinely has the worst Champions League
draws
every
year. That's a definite
truth.
That's
it's Barcelona
truth.
Or Bayern.
It's either Bayern Munich or Barcelona, no matter what.
Yeah.
No matter even if they win the group, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, the good news is that you guys don't have to worry about it this year with your Europa League draw.
The good news is nobody needs to worry about the Champions League because why?
It has no prestige.
No prestige.
Ken, yes. I want to ask Tyler some questions here. Tyler, is it difficult to clean up the mess after your team craps all over itself?
You know, I have struggled since I watched the match to come up with a defense for it. I really tried to reach deep into my soul and think, what would Tom do in his blind defending of his team where he never admits anything wrong? And I just couldn't drag myself to that low to not admit that there are problems
game,
with your team.
Lose. What would Tom do?
Yeah, exactly. WWTD. I honestly enjoy watching West Ham play. I mean, not this year, but they are a fun team to watch.
What?
And it
Ooh, in, not this season.
No, no, no. I started off by saying not this year, but when they brought in their new keeper for this game,
Adrian.
There we go.
He's a beast.
No, he looked
Ken
great.
Called
and
it.
And did you see, I don't know if you saw Conti take a shot on him, but he drilled it and made a really nice save. So
arm is strong in that
one. I saw it. That was a nice strong arm save, sure.
Yep. But no, there is not really much I can do to defend Chelsea this week. They played a struggling side that could be headed for relegation and helped them, not...
Well, they might get out.
Continue on that path.
Yeah, so I agree. Tyler, I have to ask about the draw as well, playing against Barcelona.
Okay, I was hoping you were going to ask me about that, because I have to throw a little bit of exception there, and I don't have the memory that you guys do for exactly who it is, but I consistently remember Chelsea getting the worst draws and always being in the group of death when it comes to Champions League. And I don't know if there's a website. I've been trying to find a website that shows that information listed that way.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they always get a terrible draw.
I just honestly, Tyler, I don't remember anything like that. I do remember that United gets favorable draws and Arsenal gets very unfavorable draws. I do remember that. I don't remember any of Chelsea's draws. I think Chelsea drew PSG like 2 years in a row, maybe, which is a tough draw.
Ooh, you hear that? You hear that? That's a little Wells.
Who is that? Is that Wells? What up, Wells?
Ladies and gentlemen.
He's upset. He's upset because you guys aren't admitting the harshness of the draws that Chelsea get.
He's upset that we're talking about a cup that has no prestige. He's tired of hearing about it.
Do you think he's upset because Chelsea's season will basically be over in February?
Or indifferent. He's loving it.
Or indifferent. Anyway, we're going to move on from that. Sorry, Tyler. We spent 25 minutes on Manchester United, Manchester City, and we don't have time.
Which was dumb, by the way. 25 minutes on two teams. One
that's
team
the biggest game of the
title,
year.
One team that's already won the title. It's not even Christmas.
We're not going to spend that kind of time on a third place team, as Chelsea is in third place.
Hey, I would like to say, when Conte leaves or quits, do you think he brings Morata with him? God, I hope so.
Morata was garbage in that game, by the way. He missed a late volley that Lukaku would have missed, too. Lukaku is below Morata right now for me. But most big strikers score that goal and give Chelsea a point. Speaking of which, of grabbing a late point that maybe they didn't deserve... Southampton at home against Arsenal. Southampton won. Arsenal won as Southampton grabs a goal in the third minute and then should have scored again in the sixth minute. But
they were beating a good save off of us.
And then Arsenal with the super sub Giroud, who's telling people that he wants to
leave. I told you that Southampton is running Arsenal through the ringer here. I mean,
yeah. But 1-1 as Arsenal grabs an 88-minute point from Giroud, who said after the game that he might have to go somewhere else. He's been saying that to get playing time. He has half the goals of Lacazette. Lacazette has about 1,050 minutes. Yes, yeah. And Giroud has about 300 minutes.
No, I would honestly say, and you have to be careful when you say this because. I still don't think that Giroud should be starting over Lacazette. Lacazette brings a different dynamic to the game.
Yeah, we've already seen what Giroud does in a game. I agree.
I do think that Giroud, if it was not a World Cup, this being a World Cup year is really going to get in the way of Arsenal being able to hold on to Giroud. Mm-hmm. Giroud should stay at Arsenal, but I do understand that he can't. If he does leave, I understand why, because you can't play... Lacazette's going to take your place because you both play for the same team and he's starting all the minutes. So, but that's his role. Unless he's going to go to, like, what are the teams? Like, he's rumored to go to, like, a West Ham? Come on, he's better than that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I saw Everton was the big one.
Everton? Yeah, I mean.
Or maybe to Spain or France or something like that.
Ugh, terrible.
I know, for you, it's
rough. A big loss for Arsenal if we do lose him in January, because he has saved us a lot.
Yes, he has. He wins late points, and some of his goals are actually pretty fantastic, to be honest with you. But Arsenal really has to be doing more. They, like you said, they got outplayed in this game by Southampton. Southampton, usually between 8 and 12.
Yeah, we were not even outplayed, outclassed.
Yeah, they got really outplayed here, and you could say that Southampton could have won 3-0 in this
game. And you could also say that if I see Mertesacker on the field again after that display, oh my gosh, he was terrible. He was being targeted by Southampton. Yep. Like, they got together on the sideline. Like, what's their coach's name again? Oh, that's bad. I can't remember their coach's name. But
is it Pellegrini?
Pellegrino. He pretty much screamed, "Attack Mert. He's not up for it today.
Mm-hmm.
Go down the middle. Mert will let you pass." And he did every single time.
Mm-hmm.
He looked terrible.
Yeah, I mean, Arsenal needs a center back. And it's so hard right now to be in that market because you have big teams that need center backs. Liverpool,
I mean,
for
you're
going to
pay over the odds for sure.
Yep. Liverpool needs one. You could argue that Manchester City needs one. If Kompany's going to be hurt all the time.
Oh, City needs a defender, for sure. I've been saying this for weeks.
Which is impressive, considering they bought 3 outside backs for $150 million in the offseason, but they still need
an
outside
back. Yeah,
but
now they're super solid on the outside.
Yeah, and their center backs are still making mistakes and allowing goals. It just doesn't matter because they're scoring more goals, which is fine.
Yeah.
But Arsenal, definitely, Mertesacker is... He's
a liability.
Yeah, he never had the pace for the Prem anyways, but he reads the game extremely well and is terrific in the air. Now, he's so slow that he's an absolute liability.
Yeah, I could not believe how bad he was playing. Like, I've seen what he does have to offer at times, but I've never been a fan of Mert on the field, honestly. Like, I know that him and Koscielny, they have good chemistry, so it works.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, if he's going to... now, I don't even want to take a chance on seeing that again.
Yeah, there's a really awkward... I don't know if I should... I think I tagged you on this one, Ken. There's a video between... There goes Ken again. Between Arsene Wenger and Mertesacker, and they're sitting in this little tiny room with a little
tiny
table, and they're asking each other, super... Not personal questions, but, weird questions.
Favorite book, thing to do.
But they're really close, Ken. They're so close together. It's so creepy.
It's a little table.
It's worth it to YouTube. It is ridiculous. But anyway, Ken, anything you want to add to this other than Arsenal becomes another one of the top six this weekend that drops points, and they are ruled out of the title by their manager just like everybody else?
Well, you have to. I mean...
Of course.
It's not even realistic to say if... It's not realistic now for United to say that they're in the title race.
Yeah.
But somebody has to be, or else why do we watch the next, 25 games?
Well, my heart is in it, Ken. I'm thinking about Manchester City taking a mega slide, and my head is saying absolutely not.
It will take a gigantic mega slide.
Yeah, plus United would have to reel off about 20 in a row. But anyway.
Arsenal, Southampton, the hardest thing to say is it's just Arsenal being Arsenal. You can't do that. You can't. Granted, it's away, but it doesn't matter. Southampton has not been playing particularly well. You should be going in there and you should be winning 2-0, or very, very convincingly 1-0. And you won 1-0 because you chose to play around with the ball for the next 30 or 40 minutes. But I mean, it's just par for the course to me, honestly. Like,
Arsenal's
going to drop points to teams they shouldn't, and that is why. For the foreseeable future, I hope, in parentheses, the next year and a half while Wenger's there, our goal is fourth. If we can finish fourth, great. We need to get in the Champions League so the next manager coming in can sign players with the new back office staff that we're hiring. I mean, we're making big moves behind the scenes. I don't know if you pay attention to that, but
some.
We grabbed the scout from Borussia Dortmund, who is looked upon as the best scout in the world. We're signing, I think he starts January 1st, the director of football from Barcelona, the guy who managed all of their signings, the Messi deal, the Suarez deal that Arsenal failed miserably at getting. So we're setting ourselves up to be able to transition fairly nicely away from Wenger. It's just who's going to become available at the time, and are we in a Champions League position? So it's little goals right now, and... I feel bad even saying that, but I just feel like with Wenger at the helm, it's unrealistic to say we're going to win a title.
Okay, well, Arsenal sits in fifth place on 29 points.
Real quick, before you move on, I do want to comment on one thing that Ken said, and he opened the door for me to do this. When he gave Manchester United a hard time for not clearing the ball, or just clear it away, as Ken said, I'm quoting here because I wrote it down when he said it, Arsenal's clearances in this game were terrible. I have to say. And they didn't have very many. And I had a feeling about that, so I looked up the stat before we sat down. And
I'm glad you looked the stats up, because I was about to bring something up about the way they play. But go ahead.
Yeah, they had 13 clearances to their competition's 36. A third of their clearances.
Traditionally, though, Arsenal doesn't clear the ball. They play out of the back. They like to pass out of the back.
Mm-hmm.
And that has worked before, but when you're off and Southampton was playing as fluidly as they were, it's not going to work. And you know, they didn't even get really burned off of that in this game. Oh, they did kind of, but it's more, that's just the way that they play. That's their style. You're never going to break them of that, because Art Wenger brings in players that are groomed to do that.
Yeah, that's their playing style.
They don't play long ball, so I wouldn't have been surprised if you said they had 7 clearances, just because they don't do that.
Yeah, I could definitely see that being a problem, Tyler, in the defense, for sure. If, you know, it's another one of those things.
Oh, yeah, 100% a problem.
The aesthetics of Arsenal taking precedence over the actual practicality, which is the opposite
right.
of United.
You want to look good and lose rather than look bad and win. And we have shown that we can look bad and win, but just not enough.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But moving on from Arsenal, sitting 1 point underneath of Arsenal, Dr. Pete's Tottenham Hotspur smashed Stoke City at Wembley, Ken. And Dr. Pete told me before this game, he sent me a picture of his little son, his little baby son, who finally got his Tottenham kit in. He's got little boots, and he's got a onesie, and he's got a hat. Ken, I know you're familiar with these outfits. But yeah, the Spurs outfit showed up, and Tottenham showed up as well, as
smashed them.
Son and Augie lead them to a 5-1 win, and Harry Kane with 2 in this one. He hits 50 goals in 2017, which is extremely impressive, but Tottenham just rolls over Stoke.
Yeah, and it was the usual suspects. Eriksen got in on the fun, Kane with the 2. Still, Dele Alli looking like a chump.
He had a couple assists.
What's going on with that guy?
He had a couple assists.
But yeah,
assists.
I mean, still, like, you know, minus those. But yeah, he did have those. But he's still off. When he's off the ball, it's just weird watching him. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I think it was only positive for Tottenham in this game. They get a massive win at home, and you know,
when everybody else dropped points too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely true. And Stoke away is just bad. So good on them for taking advantage of just a team that wasn't up for the task. Tottenham was.
Yeah, which is a nice win for them. At the same time, Tottenham wins their group and then is rewarded, Ken, in the Champions League draw with Juventus.
Yeah.
That's tough. I don't think this is not the same Juventus team that has been in the finals and has been in the last four for about the last 4 or 5 years. It's not the same Juventus team, and Tottenham's been playing pretty well in Europe. We'll see if they can... I mean, I'm worried they might prioritize that and then slip and then stay in sixth again.
Yeah, and well, they're in a tricky position right now, because you need to be worried about finishing fourth, but when you're playing the way that they're playing in Europe, you have to remember, Tottenham, Dr. Pete, and baby, you have to remember that you beat Juventus. Good on you. That's a good win under your belt. But the only things waiting for you are Madrid.
Yep.
Chelsea maybe, Barca maybe, PSG maybe. Like, two of those four teams are making it through, and you got to get past them. There are big, big clubs awaiting you, and you have to start thinking, do I have a realistic chance of winning that, or do I prioritize finishing fourth? Because right now, if you're outside of the top three, fourth is probably the ticket here, and you got Liverpool, Tottenham, and Arsenal all right there for it. I mean, there's only 1 point between fourth and eighth.
Yeah, a lot of tragic flaws in that stretch too. I include actually the third. Oh, there goes Ken again. The second and third place teams as well as being tragically flawed to the point where I could see United finishing fourth.
Well, it's possible, but right now the way that the points stand, you have to think we got to look for fourth. And then when United starts slipping, and when Chelsea slip further than they already are, then we can start thinking like, oh well, this is pretty opened up. We're in fourth. Let's go for second.
Yeah, but a nice strong win for Tottenham here. They smoked them from the get-go, and really, really, really encouraging, as they've been sliding for weeks. A good strong win for them. Who do they play in the midweek? We've got midweek ball here, Ken. They play on Wednesday, and they play Brighton at home, and then they
should
play on the weekend.
Easy one.
Should be. Should be, but I'm looking to put next that out weekend
to jinx them.
Next weekend, Ken, we're all Spurs fans as they play Manchester City at home. We're all Spurs. I mean, you actually probably still wouldn't drop down to be a Spurs fan, would you?
I still am rooting for a 0-0 draw. 0-0 draw. I can't do it.
Spurs with a nice win. One of the only teams to take points this weekend in the top six. Other matches of note, Crystal Palace 2, Bournemouth 2. The only note here, Ken, is
they took all the points. Yes. Everton and Arsenal took one.
They took more points, like maybe though. They didn't drop points.
Exactly. They took,
Palace 2, Bournemouth 2. And Ken, Palace continues to chip away at points, but honestly, they should have won this game. I'm going to talk about it real quick. Benteke in the 90... Was it after the 90? It might have been the 80s or something like that.
No, it was in the stoppage time, I think.
Was it in stoppage time?
I think it was. I mean, I don't know.
I saw the whole thing, but earlier in the game, Crystal Palace's designated penalty kick taker, Milovojevic. No, that's not it. I can't pronounce it. He took a penalty kick in the 41st minute and scored. Benteke, in that extra time, picks up the ball, plants on the spot, and basically pushes the guy out of the way and says, I'm taking it.
Was
and
so
then
crazy.
He misses!
Misses it badly. It was blocked. Poorly taken.
Yep, and Crystal Palace's manager after the game, Roy Hodgson, usually protects his players, laid into Benteke and said, I don't understand why he did it. A fan ran onto the field after the game and screamed at Roy Hodgson and asked, why did you allow Benteke to take that penalty kick? And Roy Hodgson answered the fan and said, I didn't. I don't know why he took it. That is a true story, Ken.
That's fantastic.
Huddersfield Town 2, Brighton 0. Anything in that one, Ken, that you would like to say?
No.
Okay. Burnley 1, Watford 0 in the Battle of the Plucky Teams. Burnley sits in 7th, tied in points with Tottenham here.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, one false move from 4th to 7th, and you're in 8th.
Yep. That's how tight it is right now. A good win for Burnley. Watford gets a red card in this game, which really helped Burnley on, as this game seemed pretty square to me, as it should have been. But Burnley gets the win at home. Swansea City also gets a disgusting win against West Brom in the Barf Bowl. Do you want to talk about this game at all? No? Okay, cool.
No, we need to talk about the only one that left that's mattered.
We're getting there. Leicester City versus Newcastle?
Who cares about these games?
Leicester City picks up more points under their new manager and continues to grab wins. And I believe that was the second most points since they picked up the manager. It's pure.
The only talk about this game is Newcastle is steady slipping. They started out strong.
They're getting smashed.
And now they're getting welcomed back to the league. And if they don't be careful, they're going to find themselves out of it as quick as they got back into it.
Okay. Anything else with that one?
No.
Nope. Cool. Now moving on to another derby match. The Liverpool derby match. The Merseyside derby match. Liverpool versus Everton at Anfield. And Liverpool, for the most part, dominated this game, except in clutchness, Ken, as they just missed in front of goal over and over and over again. And the frustration spills over in the post-game interview after Everton steals a penalty in the 77th minute. Wayne Rooney buries it. Salah scored a beauty in the 42nd minute. 1-1 game. Very soft penalty kick given. At the same time, like, it's Lovren. It's Lovren. Like, it's Lovren. It was soft. Super soft.
I like to get after the Liverpool defense, especially Lovren. But I will say, the only reason I'm going to sway on the side that it should not have been called a PK is because, to me, and I don't know what's going on in the referee's head, but there's no way that you knew immediately that that was a PK. Like, Lovren's arm doesn't even move forward.
Yeah,
like, it doesn't even move, like, look like he's pushing him. You're in the box, a defender, you're allowed to put your hand on an attacker. It's the Prem.
But he was
allowed to touch the player. Lovren did not throw his arm into his back. He put his hand on his back. And what's his name? What's the guy's name?
Talking about the guy who actually got fouled?
Yeah, the Everton player. What is
you're talking about Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah, Calvert-Lewin. Yeah. The guy with two names. Yeah. He fell right to the ground.
Yeah, he did.
But
it was soft.
At the same time, you should not.
Yes.
And everyone was saying that Lovren was in perfect position. I disagree with that because the attacker was in front of you. That, in and of itself, by definition, means that you're not in the best position.
Yes, he was behind the attacker. Exactly.
You're behind
right.
the attacker, and the referee is behind you, so you put the referee in a position to make a decision. Unfortunately, that decision decided a derby match, which I don't think should be happening, and I loved every single word and every bit of fury that was coming out of Klopp in that interview. I love that he basically
fantastic.
Called that guy a dummy.
Yeah.
He said, look, is that the only question you're going to ask me? I'm done with this. I don't want to answer this question.
Yeah, it was fantastic. A great interview if you get a chance, about 3 minutes
long. It did ruin the game, though, because I agree with everything that Klopp said. Everton never once looked like they wanted to score
nope,
a goal.
They didn't.
And the one time that they get into the box, you call a PK? It's just another harsh call against Liverpool this season that I'm on the side of being a harsh call against Liverpool.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'll say two things about it. First of all, did you see have you heard the interview with Clattenburg, former Premier League referee Clattenburg, where he says that he took narrative into account when he was refereeing games?
Yes.
Okay, in this game, if you were to do that, which I'm on the fence about, I really don't like the idea that a ref isn't completely neutral, but the idea that he would be is stupid, really, because he's a human. The idea that he would kind of insert himself into a narrative is really bad. It's really, really bad.
Well, not to cut you off, but I think Clattenburg right now, first, I don't like that he's talking at all.
I kind of agree. It was cringeworthy.
On these shows. Yeah.
It was cringeworthy, but the idea here is that if they have a soft penalty like that, why? You know, why not err in more towards allowing them to play on from there when a guy is just in the box? Because you see this all the time where dudes go down and teams that are being overmatched in the box, and it just encourages diving. You know what I mean? But at the same time,
I would not say that he dove. He definitely didn't dive.
No, he didn't dive, but it does encourage diving.
He was pushed, but it wasn't an intentful push. It was Lovren playing defense.
But Lovren was behind him.
Right, but
I think it's a soft penalty.
He's still playing defense. It's not a foul. I wouldn't even call that a foul outside the box. So how could it be a PK? It was more the greatly placed ball by Rooney that made it look like a goal-scoring opportunity.
Yeah, Wayne Rooney here scores the big PK and goes berserk. There goes Ken again.
He started with the cross.
Yeah, but Lovren still got caught out. At the same time, definitely a super soft penalty. My second point was going to be, Ken, that, you know what? Liverpool should have won this game 4-1. They missed so many opportunities, including Salah with a sitter on a header that he missed. Got a clean header. He scored a beautiful goal in the 42nd minute. He's on fire. And a guy like him right now on form should have scored that. But Coutinho didn't start in this game.
Firmino didn't start in this game. I do understand. Like, I don't understand, especially, and the commentators brought it up before the game even started. With the next two games that Liverpool have to play, why rest two of your best players in this game when you could just rest them midweek, this week, against the team that, even though it's Everton, it's still a derby. It's an important match. Mm-hmm. You have to win it. And I don't like the idea of just because Liverpool had 23 shots and three of them were on target, it still doesn't discount the fact that I really do believe the game was stolen from them. The win was stolen by the referee.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree
with
that.
You can't just punish a team because Everton gets in the box. I really think if I were to watch the game again, that might have been one of maybe two times that Everton were in the box.
Well,
the whole
hold on.
Game.
I agree that the game was stolen. I think that also, Liverpool dropped it as much as anything else because they should have scored several goals in this.
But what I'm getting to is, you can't justify the PK being called just because they missed three chances to score a goal and put it away.
Teams win
1-0. 1-0 is a very legitimate, very sought after win.
Away, yeah. They're
1-0. 1-0 wins.
Yeah, 1-0's a win.
So to say that, you know, okay, Lovren put his hand on somebody, let's call PK. I don't know. I'm not Liverpool.
Super
it doesn't matter
soft.
To me. I just don't think that Everton deserved to get anything out of it, and it, if you didn't watch the game, it makes it seem like Liverpool wasn't after it. And I think besides the leaving Coutinho and Firmino off the bench, I mean, what else are they gonna do? I never agree with benching your best players in a derby match. Wenger did that when he left Sanchez.
That's a great way to drop. You're absolutely right. That's Tottenham. A great way to drop points.
Why do you do that?
Yep, it's too big of a game. It's charged, and it's definitely games. I would never bet on a derby match, even when you have teams that are overwhelming favorites. Chelsea versus West Ham, for instance. You just don't bet on them. There's a different atmosphere there between the fans, between the history of the clubs that goes on for, Ken, sometimes 100 years.
Like, yeah, this was like, what did they say, like the 230 something, like, time that they've played this derby? That's crazy.
Yeah, United was at I think 150.
Well, it wasn't 150 because it was 100 something. But yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean it was a ton of games. The bottom line is these can't be taken lightly, and like you said, you're better off resting those guys on Wednesday when you play against West Brom at home. I still agree.
I still liked Klopp's answer to that too, though. When he said, when the guy said, "Oh, you're probably not going to like my next question then, because it has to do with you leaving Coutinho and Firmino on the bench." He said, "No, that's my job to make decisions," and I agree with your question. But that you guys get paid to say it was a mistake when we go out and lose. So
yeah,
like I like Klopp's grittiness. I just think he needs to show that on a more consistent level, and it would transition to the pitch, and it would show in the way that the back and midfield played on a more consistent basis if he were instilling that level of grittiness on the players more often.
I agree. I think that's a big thing with United's defense. They don't really have standout defenders besides De Gea, and they are the leanest defense in the league now. And I think that comes from Jose's mentality. At the same time, you know, Klopp goes rock and roll football, right?
Well, it's a little different, too, to say anything about, you know, Jose putting any grit into the defense. It's easier to play defense when you have a back four supported by three midfielders as well. I mean, that's just being realistic.
Yeah.
Liverpool doesn't
usually
play
it's
like
one,
that.
But
so all of okay. So all of the Modest all of the pressure right is there. Is on the back four, which I've beaten to the ground in backs. So there's no need to keep beating it. They're just not good enough for that. So
well, they sit in fourth. Ken, yeah. They have 30 points. They got a pretty favorable draw in the Champions League as they play Porto. To wrap up the Champions League draw, Juve, Tottenham, Basel, Man City, Porto, Liverpool, Sevilla, Manchester United, Real Madrid versus PSG. That's going to be a really good one, Ken. Shakhtar, Roma, Chelsea, Barcelona, Bayern, Besiktas. Who did Arsenal draw in Europa, or are you even paying attention to that?
Oh, no.
All right. I guess we're not covering
I did see that Arsenal smashed whatever team they played against and I think what the second biggest talking point was to the least amount of people that have ever been in the Emirates.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was like the lowest attendance ever.
You guys are playing FK Östersunds. I don't know who that
Fantastic.
Is.
Fantastic.
I don't know who that is. That's okay.
You use that
That's
for
okay.
players.
Yep. Midweek matches, Ken. Burnley, Stoke, Crystal Palace, Watford. Why am I even saying this? Chelsea's versus Huddersfield away. Chelsea needs to get points there, Ken. They need 3 points.
They might drop.
That's on Tuesday.
I wouldn't say they lose, but I wouldn't be surprised to see them draw.
That would be really bad. That would put them in the mire for sure. And you're going to see Conte start to melt down because they are about to hit this stretch where we get 4 matches in 10 games right around Christmas.
Oh, we're about to hear
I did
all
it again.
The babies
Four
come out.
Matches in 10 days, not games. I did it again. Yeah, absolutely. You're going to hear a lot of that kind of nonsense, and that team is known for self-destructing and turning on their coach. So with the David Luiz situation, they need to be really careful. Anyway, Wednesday, Manchester United, Bournemouth. Swansea City gets to try to stop Manchester City. That one's not happening. Expect City to get
Never
the win there.
Never know.
Sure. Tottenham at home against Brighton. Liverpool plays West Brom. Arsenal, West Ham, Ken.
I already emailed Moyes.
It.
I already emailed Moyes, and he
you
said he's going to play Joe Hart.
You hope. You need it. Need to bounce back. And then the weekend's games will be Arsenal plays Newcastle, Chelsea, Southampton, Manchester City, Tottenham, Hotspur. Huge game there. We will be rooting for you, Spurs. And United plays West Brom away, Liverpool, Bournemouth away. So, Ken, overall, I would say this week can be summed up pretty easily as Manchester City, 15 wins in the league, 1 draw, 0 losses, 37 goal differential in 16 matches, and 46 points, sit 11 points clear of United at 35 points. Chelsea is 3 points behind United in 3rd, Liverpool 2 points behind in 4th, Arsenal 1 point behind in 5th, Tottenham 1 point behind them in 6th, tied with Burnley but ahead on goal differential by 11, and the relegation battle has changed up a little bit as West Ham is tied with West Brom in 18th place and could be out of the mire very quickly. And if Palace could have won, they would actually have been tied and almost out.
Yeah,
of the relegation
I was saying
zone.
That they were gone. I was saying it was too much of a gap, but there's just more. There you go. Yep. There goes to show you, more teams want to leave the league than want to stay. It's
Newcastle dropping down in that conversation. Everton sits in 10th, Ken, after a horrible stretch, but overall the league is starting to shape up probably about what you would expect, and we go into the holiday festive period in England where the games come thick and fast, and you're going to hear a lot of complaining.
You never know. I mean, with the way hopefully Chelsea slides, and then it really opens it up. I mean, it's not. It's a close race between 2nd and 8th.
Yeah,
it's still attainable. Mm-hmm. We just need City. We need a City slide.
Yeah, but even a City slide at this point would only be for 7 points maybe, and you have to pick up those points anyways. You have to pick up 11 points, and
there
it's not
go,
like United
Jose
are playing.
Mourinho Jr. What a loser!
It's
Let's
not like.
This. Are we done for this week? I can't handle you being a loser anymore today.
I'm kill you. I'm going to strangle you. All right. Well, the game is over. We're not going to talk about it anymore, Ken. We move on to the next week in the Prem, and hopefully we'll be feeling better. Anything you want to add?
No.
Tyler, anything?
Nope.
Well, we hope everybody else is feeling better than us, and that everybody has good holidays, whatever they might be. We will see you next week. Have an awesome week.